three parcels have a total land area of approximately 40,400 square feet with 227 feet of frontage on Lake Street and 198 feet of frontage on State Street. The property is zoned Central Business District, a 27,075 square foot three-story mixed-use building is being proposed, which will consist of 9,025 square feet of commercial space on the first floor and total of 42 apartments on the second and third floor. The apartments will consist of 6 studio, 28 single bedroom, and 8 two-bedroom units. Currently, tenants for the commercial space have not been identified. The commercial space can accommodate a wide variety of potential uses, and it's been anticipated that a mix of retail, office, restaurant uses will occupy the space. In the Central Business District, a mixed-use development is a principal permitted use as per section 1020M. While the proposed use is a use by right, and the Planning Commission has no discretion in regards to the proposed use, it may be beneficial for the Planning Commission to review the intent and purpose of the CBD and the applicable planning documents that include or reference the project site. As per the CBD in purpose and intent, I listed items A through L there. I won't go through reading all those, but it appears it's very consistent with all those intended purposes. As per the future land use map of the 2015 Wyoming City Master Plan, the subject parcels are located in the downtown core. The intent and purpose of the properties located in the downtown core is described in the plan as follows. Downtown core. Downtown and historic core of the is the focal point of Boyne City, providing a mix of retail, office, residential, and public uses, supported by a transportation system that creates a pedestrian-friendly atmosphere. This area provides easy access to local businesses with enhanced streetscape environment. This plan promotes continued mixed-use development in the downtown core to reinforce unique identity and attractive pedestrian environment. This land use category is intended to encourage commercial uses, small-scale retail, entertainment uses, convenience stores, office, and personal and business service uses. Residential uses are encouraged on upper floors of commercial buildings. Building heights should generally not exceed 3 stories, except where it can be demonstrated that additional height will not alter the historic character of downtown. Brick, stone, and masonry will be the primary building materials in this area to give a sense of permanence. The 100 North Lake Street parcel is specifically identified in the 2015 Boyne City Master Plan as a priority redevelopment site. The Boyne City Master Plan describes priority redevelopment sites as follows. Priority redevelopment sites. As part of the RRC, Redevelopment Ready Community, certification process, the city was required to assemble and prioritize potential redevelopment sites. To accomplish this task, the city completed an inventory and review of all potential redevelopment sites in the city. The criteria used for inclusion into the priority list was the properties needed to be located in or close to the downtown, needed to be currently vacant or underutilized land or buildings, and the properties had attributes that set that apart, such as historic designation, blight, architecture, or other unique characteristics that would make it an important, significant property. As an RRC designated priority site, the 100 North Lake Street property has been advertised and promoted for redevelopment by the city and by the state through the MEDC Redevelopment Ready Communities Opportunity Michigan High Priority Redevelopment Sites Across the State. And those pictures are from the MEDC marketing materials for this site. The project area is included in the 2006 Waterfront Master Plan, and the plan states the following for this area. Lake Street, from the river to Vogel, this area is highly suitable for redevelopment that introduces more residential units into downtown core and retail and other non-residential as the market may bear. The area from the river to State Street is suggested for mixed use. The plan also included a concept rendering, and it's this drawing right here. And this project area is right about here, and on that plan, it shows multi-story mixed-use development with those buildings brought up to the street and the parking behind.
That's a 2006 plan, is that?
Yes. The project area is also included in the 2017 Boyne on the Water plan, which designates the east side of Lake Street for mixed-use. So that's this plan down here, and it shows all this area is designated for mixed-use. The project site was also specifically included in the 2018 Boyne City Parking Study as a potential future development site in the forecasting the five-year scenario. The scope of the forecasted development for the project site is as follows. Site 1, potential development, 2 three-story mixed-use on privately owned site on Block 4, 3 floors, 69,960 square feet, 23,320 square feet per floor of mixed-use and 22 parking spaces. The development as proposed is a mixed-use 3 stories, 27,000 square feet, and 82 new parking spaces with 69 public and 69 private, 13 public. The Boyne on the Water plan also addresses the issue of parking and states the following. By eliminating parking minimums, adopting shared parking agreements, exploring pricing on-street and off-street parking in a variable way, and reducing requirements for parking for individual developments, Boyne City can create a more vibrant, walkable, and dense core that will complement waterfront development and allow more spaces along the waterfront to be devoted to human-scale use rather than asphalt and parking spaces. As mentioned previously, the proposed mixed use is a principal permitted use in the CBD, and as such, the Planning Commission does not have discretion regarding the use. The proposed building placement, height, lot coverage meet all the applicable requirements of Article 20 Schedule of Regulations. In addition to these requirements, the project is subject to the CBD design requirements of Section 10.5 and the development plan requirements of Article 19. The Planning Commission's authority and discretion is limited to the application of these specific standards listed in these reference sections. One area the Planning Commission does have discretion is provided in Ordinance Section 19.4 in determining the amount of parking development should provide. The proposed parking for the proposed use is less than the ordinance standards of Article 24, and the applicants have requested the Planning Commission approve the reduction and or waiver of spaces as provided by Sections 24.20F and 10.5M. At the preliminary review on April 15th, the Planning Commission reviewed the proposed plan and was asked specifically by the development team if the proposed parking was sufficient for the proposed uses. It was a consensus of the Commission that the proposed parking plan would be sufficient and indicated the 20% reduction was applicable, and there was rationale for reducing the parking requirement as per Section 10.5M. The specific ordinance sections are as follows. Section 2420F, in instances of dual function off-street parking spaces where operating hours of buildings do not overlap and there is opportunity for a patron to visit more than one use, the Planning Commission may grant a reduction to the required number of spaces up to 20%, provided the signed agreement provided by the property owner. Section 1050M, the Planning Commission shall determine if the number of off-street parking and loading-unloading spaces required by Article 24 of this ordinance shall be met, or if a lesser number of spaces or no spaces are required due to the following. The availability of on-street parking spaces, off-street parking lots, or municipal parking lots, finding that patrons will either walk to the site from nearby neighborhoods or will park at other sites and visit several uses at one time, or the placement and configuration of existing buildings. While the Planning Commission did indicate at the preliminary review of the parking as proposed was sufficient, a formal finding is still required for plan approval. In this case, the exact parking space requirements of the proposed use cannot be determined as the end user of the commercial space is unknown. Given this unknown, assumptions were necessary to calculate the parking space counts. As the proposed commercial space is expected to have a mix of commercial uses that are anticipated to include retail, office, and restaurant uses, the parking requirements were calculated dividing the commercial space into three equal parts and calculating individual parking counts for each of the anticipated uses. And those calculations are as follows. For the retail, it was one space for every 250 square feet for a total of 12 spaces. Office, one space for 350 square feet for 9 spaces. And a restaurant, one space for 100 square feet for 30 spaces. And that's gross square feet. The two-bedroom units are 2 spaces per each. And the studio and one-bedroom units are 1.5 spaces per each. Parking requirement for all the uses combined is 118 spaces, with 67 of those spaces for the residential portion and 51 of those spaces for the commercial portion. The application of the 20% reduction as per 2420F would reduce the total of the calculated parking to 94 spaces. The proposed project will include the development of 69 off-street parking, private parking spaces, and 13 on-street public parking for a total of 82 new parking spaces. While the on-street spaces will remain public, the addition of the spaces to the overall parking supply can be one of the factors the Planning Commission considers in making a finding that a lesser number of parking spaces are needed as per 10.5 OM. Taking into account the 20% reduction as per 24F, and the 82 provided parking spaces, the proposed development would require a waiver of 12 spaces. The Planning Commission can also refer to the 2018 parking study in making a finding. The study included assessments of the overall study area and the downtown core area. The property is located outside the core area and specifically shown as development site 1 on map 6, page 33 of the parking study. The study says the following about parking turnover and occupancy and parking demand. Turnover occupancy summary. The number of spaces occupied at peak time in downtown Boynton City are relatively low. The peak overall occupancy was 39%, with 647 of the 1,622 spaces occupied. When we analyze the results for the core area, we see that the peak overall occupancy increases to 52%, with 408 of the 782 spaces occupied. This tells us there is sufficient parking in the downtown area available during peak hours, though all parking may not be available to all users. Additionally, the public parking may not be located as the most convenient spaces for all destinations. Parking demand. The current daytime parking situation in the entire study area, as calculated, showed an overall surplus of 765 spaces. When looking at the core area, this surplus was only 302 spaces. Currently, there is parking located within a couple blocks of all areas to handle shortages. As development continues and additional business come down to downtown Boynton City, there is potential for an increase in intensity, number of people visiting each land use, and overall land use. Therefore, it is important to constantly monitor the parking system and update the demand model with any changes to the parking supply or land use. The updated model should then be compared to occupancy counts for the from the parking system. As suggested by the parking demand summary, the parking demand model was updated to include impacts of the proposed development. For this block, the existing parking demand was calculated at 37 spaces, and the existing parking supply for the block was calculated at 72 spaces. For the net surplus of 35 spaces. Please note these values are slightly different than shown on Table H, page 26 of the parking study. The existing demand was adjusted to include the 5,000 square feet of warehouse space for the 100 North Lake Street. And the existing parking supply was increased from 70 to 72, as there are 17 street on-street spaces on Park Street, not 15. Inputting the proposed uses into the model would increase demand for the block to 94 spaces and increase the supply to 137 spaces for a net surplus of 43 spaces. The proposed development has significantly less floor area, 27,075 square feet versus 69,960, and significantly larger number of parking spaces, 82 versus 22, than was modeled for the site for the five-year forecast. Due to these differences, the proposed development has a net surplus of 43 spaces as opposed to the forecasted deficit of 103 spaces that was shown in the five-year scenario map on page 30. In addition to the parking demand model, the Planning Commission considered the availability of public parking areas in the vicinity of the project. An inventory of all public parking spaces that are available to the general public with a two-minute walk of the parcel was completed. The inventory did not include spaces that were private, handicapped, or reserved. Within a one-minute walk, 350 feet of the site, there are 108 public parking spaces. Extending out to a two-minute walk, 700 feet, there are over 300 public parking spaces available. To gauge the current use of the spaces in close proximity to the project, counts were obtained for several of the public parking areas around the subject parcel. Counts were obtained by referring to aerial images from 15 different time periods and also conducting 32 counts over the last 35 days. Main accounts were completed on weekdays, either in the morning after 8 a.m. or in the afternoon prior to 4:30 p.m. The counts were obtained for the public lot on River Street and for the on-street parking on State Street between Lake and Park, on Park Street from State to North to the river, on River Street from Lake to East, and Lake Street from north of the river to River Street. A total of 150 public parking spaces were included in the count area. Based on these observations, the average usage of the entire count area was just over 35 spaces, which is approximately 23.6% of the available public parking in the count area. This would leave, on average, 115 spaces, or 76.43% of the spaces in the count area available within a one. And the 1 and 2 minute walk map is shown right here. And this is the map of the area, the parking areas that were counted, and this is the table with all those calculations. So with that, the process of the application requires development plan approval as per Article 19. As preliminary plan review was completed by the Planning Commission on April 15th, and as the project is in the Main Street District, a review of the project by the Main Street Design Committee is required and was completed on April 2nd. The Planning Commission should review the standards of Article 19 and the plan requirements in Article 10, Central Business District Design Requirements, and make a determination based on the facts if the standards met, not met, or met with conditions. If approved with conditions, the conditions must be listed. If denied, the reasons for denial must be stated. Attached to my staff report was also, those are the demand spreadsheets that show you how those calculations were tabulated. The report from Annika Norris of Cam Warren Consulting, who did a review of the parking impact on this particular project and made her recommendation in regard that there was rationale to waive those 12 spaces. Also, a resolution for the Main Street Board, the review and recommendation by the Main Street Design Committee, all the staff reports, the department head reviews, and the responses from the developer in regards to those questions that were raised. With that, if you had also, there was a communication from Mike Long, the owner of the parking lot. With that, if there's any questions regarding the staff report, I would suggest to turn it over to the development team to give their presentation.
Let's turn it over to the development team, please.
Mike Corby from Integrated Architecture. I think this is our third time in front of you, so I'll maybe dispense quickly with the design. Obviously, there is a lot of information that was provided that I think addressed some of the concerns from earlier meetings relative to stormwater and things like that. There were a few things that came up in the kind of post-submission dialogue that happens that I'll just highlight, but we're excited to be here, and we've provided the detail, and also I thought the, while lengthy, I thought the dissertation on parking was very helpful for us, too. Just makes us feel better as well. The basic design hasn't really changed much. As I said, what you're seeing is a little bit more detail on the landscape, and there's information there on the stormwater. These were specific issues that came up in the course of earlier discussions. So I believe those have been addressed through through our engineer, Benchmark Engineering, as well as through some of the responses from city staff. I think we are, a couple of things that I'll mention that aren't shown in the plan but have kind of come up in recent dialogue. The trash enclosure area, they recommended that we put that on a 45-degree angle, which is fine. We've got room to do that just for ease of access. And then I think the EMS was wanting to make sure that our clearance from the north, from State Street onto the property, was 14 feet clear so that they could get vehicles in there, and we addressed that as well. So I don't know if I need to get into too much of the detail on the design. We, as you know, we had a couple of sessions with the design committee, and they obviously provided approval. A couple specific things. Loading, we are proposing on-street parking onto Lake and to State. The issue with the loading dock, what we're proposing is one of the spaces be signed for loading at specific hours of the day, and then it would be available for use for parking at those non-loading hours. So that way we're not having a space be kind of dedicated for something that doesn't happen very often, and we can obviously coordinate that with the retail users on the main level. Let me see if there are any other specific things that I may want to just make sure are brought to the attention. I'm not sure how much of that dialogue is part of your...
It was definitely within our packet.
It was, okay. So I think, again, we're excited to be here. It's been a great collaboration. The design has obviously benefited from that dialogue, and will be available. Marilyn Crowley is here as well from Michigan Community Capital to answer any questions that you might have. But thank you. And I've got materials. Scott asked to have those available if need be, but I've got some samples.
Sample boards, those are the materials are available, so if you want to look at those.
Okay. Does anyone want to look at the materials used before we get into things? Okay.
These are the brick types that we're planning. We've actually got some of them are similar colors, just maybe different textures, but we've got pretty much, if you could, Scott, put up the rendering. You can see there are three brick colors that we're proposing, as well as some cast stone. So we've got a kind of, we'll call it a medium or red brick. The darker brick would be kind of this darker brown. And then there's kind of a, I'd call it more of a kind of a, it's got a little bit of a purple in it or whatever, kind of a hybrid. There is some painted siding, so we're planning to use like a hardware panel, which is basically a wood substitute. But that would be, anything that's painted would be that, and then the cornice work would be also of this material. So that's, those are the materials.
And this design was, the design committee saw this design and they approved it, they recommended this as well.
Yes, the more recent thing that we, I think we obviously modified the facade. We brought the height down from four stories to three. And it basically, we extended the building to the east along State to get our consor. We had a reduction in unit count from the original submission, original design from 48 to 42, so we had to reduce some of the unit counts in order to get everything to fit onto basically two levels of residential. But yes, this is this was the latest version that we had presented to the design committee.
All right.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions about materials?
Good.
Okay. All right. I'm now going to open this up to the public. If you have a question or comment, please come to this podium. If you have a question, please don't wait. Please get up and queue behind the next person. I do need to let you know that we are only taking questions about zoning. Any other questions about the project are things that we really can't answer.
All right.
Thank you. And please tell us your name and your address for the record. Thank you.
Michelle Courtright, 221 Water Street. As a member of the Main Street Board and Boyne Housing Solutions, I am speaking in favor of the loss on Lake Street project. Let's keep in mind that this project is for our residents, not for visitors. It will provide housing for the workforce we desperately need to attract. I personally have hired two people that were ultimately not able to move to Boyne to accept the positions because they could not find housing. This project is exactly what we have been working toward with our Boyne Housing Solutions group. Let's approve it tonight and get construction underway. Thank you.
Hello, Craig Waltz. I live at 111 North Park, part-time fudgy, part-time resident, in good standing, might I add, at the moment. This might be the wrong forum, but just things about my house is right there. Okay, you're wrapping around my house pretty much. I lose my water views, I lose my afternoon sun. You know, there's going to be a lot of cars, doors slamming and coming and going. My understanding is you're not going to use the alleyway as an entrance. Am I correct? Entrance and exit?
Ask your question. I'll answer it when we get to the board. I'm not allowed to do a call and response. It takes two.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
And the other thing is garbage. I believe the garbage is going to be like right there in my backyard. Totally don't want to smell it, nor would you. And other things such as how many units are there actually going to be? I got here a little late. You know, single, doubles. Was the original proposal, was that called low-income housing or affordable housing? This is very important. I'm trying to. And what are these units going to rent for? I know we're trying to get.
I do need to stop you there. Oh. That's something we can't.
Okay. All right. Well.
Thank you. And I do like your. I do appreciate your questions.
Yes, sir.
Jeff Thompson, 1024 West Street. As a business owner, the lack of housing in our affordable housing in our area has deterred both prospective employees, and we have lost employees that have not been able to find affordable housing. And in support of the loss at Lake Street, I feel that it will be both beneficial to the economic stability of my business as well as the area.
Kelsey King Duff, 113 South Lake Street. I'm the executive director of the Boyne City Main Street Board, and I'm just going to read the resolution that the board passed in support of the Loss on Lake Street development project. Whereas the nonprofit Michigan Community Capital, MCC, has submitted plans for the redevelopment of three parcels at the intersection of North Lake and State Streets, calling their projects Loss on Lake Street. And whereas MCC has presented their plans to the Main Street Design Committee for their review and recommendation, and whereas MCC has incorporated the input of the Main Street Design Committee into their most recent plans, earning a unanimous recommendation for approval by it, and whereas the proposed project will redevelop three currently underutilized parcels, and whereas the mixed-use proposal is consistent with the visions of the community-driven Boyne City Master Plan, the Waterfront Master Plan, the Boyne on the Water Plan, and the Boyne City Zoning Ordinance, And whereas, in addition to being consistent with the Boyne City Master Plan, this site has been specifically called out in it for redevelopment statewide as part of Michigan's Redevelopment Ready Communities Program. And whereas, in 2018, the Boyne City Parking Study found there to be more than sufficient existing public parking to support a much larger project on this specific site, providing much less parking than currently proposed. And whereas the Lost on Lake Street development will help create a continuation of downtown Boyne City on North Lake Street. And whereas the development of 42 units of residential space and 9,000 square foot of retail space will have a positive impact on the Boyne City Main Street District and the entire Boyne City community on a number of levels, including helping to meet the city's 2018 to 2020 specific goals of keeping Boyne City's economy strong and resilient and increasing housing in availability. And whereas the housing units included in this project meet the goals of Boyne Housing Solutions, a grassroots group of community members working towards more attainable housing for the residents of Boyne City. And whereas the income-based long-term rentals at the Lofts on Lake Street will create attainable housing for the local workforce. And whereas by locating the project downtown, it builds on Boyne City's historic downtown's mixed uses, provides for a more walkable community, provides housing that will be available to support both downtown employees and the businesses they will visit, uses already existing infrastructure, does not encourage sprawl, and whereas thoughtful economic development that preserves the character of our community as well as helps foster a sense of pride, develops a diverse, stable business environment, and involves collaboration of community groups and organizations together, meet the mission of Boyne City Main Street. Now, therefore, it be resolved by the Boyne City Main Street Board that Boyne City Main Street endorses and supports the efforts of Michigan Community Capital to redevelop the property at 100 and 120 North Lake Street for the Lofts on Lake Street project as proposed in the plan dated April 15, 2019, and encourages others to review all the relevant materials and do the same. And it's signed by our chair and myself.
Who is your chair?
Chris Biandi.
Hello, my name is Mike Wright. I'm the owner of the Bike Store in Town, North Country Cycles Board. I actually purchased the business when I had one semester left in college. When it came time to move down here, it was really difficult to find a place to live. Thankfully, I grew up here. I was able to move with my parents for a while until I could find a place to live. It still took a really long time. Thankfully, through the existing relationships I had here, I was able to find a place eventually. Today, we have the same issues with our staff here. We have openings in the store, and it's really difficult to fill them, again, just given the housing. So a recent example of one of our staff members, him and his wife had a kid. Their current living situation was not appropriate to raise a family. Finally, they were able to find a place to live that was suitable for that, but again, it was very difficult for them. So obviously, not only is this lack of housing, does it make it difficult to run a business, it makes it hard for me to reinvest back into the community that I love and I grew up in. I noticed one of your city goals was to enhance outdoor recreation within the parks and open spaces. I love doing that, but again, my time and resources are committed elsewhere just due to the lack of staff that we have. Some of my friends are also business owners in the area. They have the same issues. I know a lot of them, their staff, they don't live here just because they can't find places to live. They live in Charlotte, Petoskey, East Jordan, as far away as Harbor Springs. So when they go home, that's where they buy their groceries, that's where they spend their money. It'd be great to see them being able to reinvest their income back into the community and keep that money here. It's been, again, so much I grew up here, it's been great watching the town grow into the progressive community it is today. One recent example of success is the Main Street program, nationally recognized for that. That's awesome, congratulations everyone. Then I think the next logical step to help Boyne tastefully grow like it has been is to increase the workforce housing and help Boyne to continue to grow in a healthy way. Thank you.
My name is Zachary Knott. I live at 2574 Main Street. I'd like to thank you guys all for being here and listening to me. I'm a local that grew up around Boyne City, multiple generations, graduated in 2009. I've seen this place grow, boom in the 90s, and then fall apart when I graduated. I think development like this is very much so needed. I'm a local Michigan sales development representative and licensed salesperson, and I think something like this is very beneficial. Coming back to this area after being gone for 10 years and having a very tough time finding housing, I think it's a no-brainer that this kind of development is very much so needed. It's something like me, a young entrepreneur, that's hopefully moved to contribute to this community by becoming an inspiring local business owner, needs a place to live, let alone a place to buy, hopefully. And this would be something that'd be very useful for me to rent, and to be right into town would be even more beneficial. So thank you for your time, and I appreciate it.
I'm Ward Collins, 1209 Wildwood Heights, and over the last 6 months I've been involved with the housing committee here in Boyne City, and one thing that's been painfully obvious is that we're desperately short on housing in this area. And I guess one of the points I was going to make is that employers can't hire employees because of the shortage of housing. And I think we've heard already from three employers just before me that they can't hire people because of the housing problem. This organization has been here, I think this is the third time. They've been very responsive to comments that have been made about the height of the building, the architecture, and also parking. And I think they've been very responsive, and they've put together a plan now with an architecture that's very much in conformity with the downtown area. This is the right location for units that's going to have, it's going to be available to residents and employees in the downtown area. And I think it's very important to Boyne City that this committee do everything within its power to make this project a success. Thank you.
My name is Chelsea Bauman. I live at 1119 West Street in Boyne City. I've lived here for about 3.5 years now. I'm going back to school. My parents have lived here. I was born here, but we moved to California when I was one. But my parents have moved back for about 13 years. They've moved back here. My dad was the president of the Boyne City Chamber of Commerce until the last couple of years, for about 10 years previously. He's now the director of the Harbor Springs Chamber of Commerce. He wishes he could be here, but he is in Traverse City, my grandpa, medical stuff. I, for one, as a low-wage working employee going to school, appreciate, and I'm also from a bigger city, so I appreciate developments like this. I've heard concerns from friends of mine who've been living here for quite a while. I guess I wonder if I'm concerned a bit about the number of studios in one bedrooms versus two bedrooms. I wonder if any of that, if there were wiggle room in any of that for, you know, more two bedrooms, more families, more, you know, affordable for roommate situations for people like myself. I think that was kind of all I had to offer. I know that, that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you.
Effie Erickson, 526 North Lake. I know we definitely need housing, but three stories high on our main drag, do we need that? And this is not family friendly. It's not going to be family friendly. Nobody with children, you're not going to want to move into a three-story building in the middle of town on a main drag if you have a child, where they're not going to be able to go out and play. You have a busy street. Nobody's, you're lucky to stop, get anybody to stop at the crosswalk. So the children in that area, parking, I don't know where you found all your parking. I'd love to see it. But parking for all that, and parking on Lake Street and State Street, that's not feasible. There's no place now on Lake Street except on the one side of the road. There's no place on State Street to park if you're also going to get a vehicle on it. That would mean you'd have to widen the road to even make room for that. I don't know where you're going to go, but three stories, and we do need the housing, but three stories is too much for where you want to locate it. It's just, and there's so many other vacant buildings in town that could use things. You know, maybe we should rethink what's vacant in town. We've lost so much in the last couple, 3 months, including people that, you know, they can't live here. But then again, are they going to be truly affordable on what Boyne City pays? We all know Boyne City pays pay a lot. So that's the thing, you know, are they going to be affordable?
Well, that's not something we just have to look towards the zoning of this.
Planning, so, you know, somebody's got to look for the people that actually are working and living here, or trying to live here.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Luz, 554 North Snyder Road, also executive director here in town in Boyne City of a nonprofit organization. And so I just want to reinforce the fact that this is a nonprofit organization that's partnering with the city of Boyne, and that is not something that comes along every day. I served for 10 years on the Planning Commission in Petoskey, and saw multiple proposals for the hole in Petoskey. And I can tell you that none of them were nonprofits, and none of them were as willing to set aside their financial gain for the benefit of our community. So I hope that everyone is understanding that this, as a nonprofit organization, is unique in the development community, in that they do not need to fill the pockets of shareholders or other principals within their businesses and organizations. They still need to make a profit, but their profit margin is much smaller than any other developer that would ever come along. So don't fall for, well, maybe somebody else can come along with a better plan. And to be frankly honest, there's really no reason why you wouldn't approve this. It meets every single standard that is set out in the ordinance. So I just encourage you to follow your ordinances and take advantage of this amazing opportunity for Boyne City. Thank you.
Good evening. Scott McKenzie, 847 West Division Street. Historically speaking, Lake Street used to be, there was a four-story hotel there at one time, the USA Hotel. People get comfortable with the status quo, and I understand the fear of change. Then it's a human reaction to fear change. This is an opportunity that meets decades of public input. Many of you have been in the meetings that I've been in, and for 20 years I've been going to citywide goal setting sessions and planning board meetings, and we've been talking about, with all of our plans and studies, building up, culminating to something of this nature. And like was said before, this meets all of our standards, our guidelines, our goals, our expectations, our visions for what we've all put countless hours, time and effort, and sweat equity studies to achieve exactly what we've got coming here. So I encourage you to endorse it and vote in favor of it. Thank you.
Good evening. Larry Shute, 414 High Street. I'm speaking in support of this development. I think the assumption of going with restaurant for one-third of the area is definitely an assumption, with the number of restaurants in this city that are perhaps struggling and only making it 6 weeks out of the year. If you reduce the restaurant to an office or retail use, then it clearly comes within the parking ordinance when you take the 20% reduction. Not a problem. I think the height of the building is not a problem. It does a nice job mimicking the Main Street feel, brings it outside of the downtown. I think does a very nice job of that. Applaud the development. We don't need more decaying buildings in Boyne City. Vacant, don't need more vacant buildings. So definitely in support of it for more than just housing reasons. Thank you.
Good
Hi, Sherry Thompson, 323 Terrace. I've lived in this area, well, Boyne area, for 11 years now, but happy to be a townie the last 2 years. So I'm in full support of this development as well. As a business owner in town, having trouble with employee housing, and just, you know, as a townie, I'm very excited about the proposal. The way I see it is, people talk about these different businesses having a hard time making it, restaurants having a hard time. You're going to add 42 more families or 42 more couples or whatever, full-time residents who are going to take advantage of the restaurants and the businesses that we have in the area. As far as the family aspect of it, I see that if you put, if couples or single people move into these units, that's going to release housing, other housing in the area that the families can go to. So it's a win-win situation as far as I'm concerned, and it's a beautiful building. I think you should approve it.
Adam Grave, 1296 Marshall Road. I'm just going to say real quick again that I support this building, and I just want to remind you guys that we are all here today talking about this building because last meeting, the developers were ready to walk, and all of you guys had said that you were going to consider this parking variance. So I just want to remind you guys of that again and hope that we can just get this passed. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Kim Aiken, and my address is 340 West Main Street, Gaylord. Because I could not find housing, I took a job in December as the director of the Chamber of Commerce for Boyne, and I love the area, but there's no housing. And I guess I'm lucky because I can drive back and forth. Not everyone has that opportunity. I have no small children. I would have moved in here in a heartbeat if this was open. So I can attest to the fact that there's no housing for workforce in Boyne. Thank you.
Any other comments?
I'm kind of late to the game here. Mike Lohan, 123 Park Street. And I'm just concerned, I don't know if the parking is met or not met, but the alley, which shouldn't I have received a notice that the alley was going to be closed? It borders my property, which affects in Central Business District property. It seems to me that if parking was an issue, they had contacted me before when they had a different spokesperson. He's been cut out of the loop now. And they were looking for potentially more property that would solve their parking issue. And of course, we were totally open to that. And the developers, for whatever reason, they no longer use the spokesman who was at the first couple of meetings. So I guess I'm just trying to figure out if the parking issue had been met, if it seems like they're getting a pass on that, it is going to more than likely affect my business too, because there's going to be overflow parking with people just visiting and whatnot. And I've already taken a huge hit on the parking ever since the city sewer and water reconstruction, which was never told to me either that I was going to lose all my parking. And I went to all those meetings, so I'm just trying not to get my property dinged hard here again. And I'm closing that alley off. Somebody should have, isn't that a zoning issue? Shouldn't I have been informed of that?
Okay. Thanks, Mike. You want me to answer that? Yes, answering it now would be fine.
No alley has been closed or vacated as part of this request. The existing alley remains open.
Well, the structure doesn't come over past the alley? That's what it looks like on the picture. No.
Hi, I'm Pam Maxey, 1110 Jefferson Street, Boyne City, and also business owner downtown Boyne City, Northern Michigan Premier Properties. And I am in full support of this project. I'm on the board of the Main Street Committee, as I've mentioned before. Just to kind of reiterate the housing shortage here in affordable housing. Real cute house went on the market for $125,000. Had a client very interested in this house. I called Jim Evans of Pat O'Brien Real Estate. He said, Pam, that sold in 2 hours. He said, I already had an open house because I had to already advertise it. I had 27 people show up. He said, this is, you know, we're in much needed affordable housing. And he said, I'll call you if something falls apart, the inspections tomorrow. And he had plenty of backup people interested besides the people that showed up for the open house. Boom. End of story. We need this. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to close this to public discussion and open it up to the board. Any questions about this project?
We don't have construction drawings, so I can't put anything under the measurements. These sidewalks width on Lake Street, right away width, being proposed. Is there going to be standard development spot? Is there any increase?
Perhaps Mike can address that question, the sidewalk width being proposed.
So I want to get back to one question. The parking that we are creating on both Lake and State will be pavement that will be added to the right of way, not that will be taking away in it. So we're at the developer's expense creating that parking, but it varies a little bit. I think it's, if you take into account there are planters that we're putting in lieu of some of the street trees, I think it's 8 to 10 feet based on where you're at, but because the building sets back on the north edge, we've kind of stepped it back. So on State Street, I can't remember what that is. I can't read it. I think it's 8 or 8.5. So 8 feet is the minimum, and then it gets a little wider in certain areas.
Some of this could be a public property and some would be a private property.
Exactly. Our building does not go right up to the property. So we've set it back a little bit off of Lake Street. It is on the property line on State, but there's a little bit more right of way there. So we've got green space as well as the sidewalk. On Lake, we pushed the building away from the right of way a little bit so that we can get wider sidewalks.
And that works with the city. See the balcony would be held off now.
The balcony.
I walked this property, a public property around it. I didn't do it at night and notice the lighting for our public areas were. It's not always lit until 10 o'clock at night. And in the evening, whether it be office employees,
on the electrical plan, it shows quite a lot of outdoor lighting.
I'm talking to the public lots.
Oh.
Public areas down there, I guess that's for city developers.
Well, as part of this project, the developers are indicated that they would put in streetlights matching the city lights on Lake Street and State Street.
Right.
So that area that they're directly adjacent to will be lit. And then, you know, I believe there's some pictures on River Street. So, you know, we fill those in as we can.
Okay, correct.
Okay. And there's a question on the unit count. There's 42 units. Six of them are studios, 26 of them are single bedrooms, and eight of them are two bedrooms. How was it just working out the math as to how that figured out as to how many units? I'm just curious.
Are you referring to the number or the mix?
The mix, the number, how it came up to so many two bedrooms versus one bedrooms and all of that.
Each project is different with Michigan Community Capital. It depends on the particular locale. I think typically they're looking at ones or the predominant. Mm-hmm. Couples can get into them. And again, when we're looking at something that's more attainable,
yeah.
The two bedrooms obviously cost more per month. So the ones tend to be the higher ratio that we have. And then studios are also a good option because, again, they're a lower price point. And then the twos. We typically don't have as many twos, only because, again, you're trying to reach a price point that a couple can get into fairly reasonably.
So this mix was come up to, for price point and like the need that you see.
This actually has a few more twos than they might typically have.
Okay.
In a setting like this.
All right.
I can elaborate on that too. I'd also like to just say thank you to everyone who took their time to come here and speak on support of the project. It's really incredible that so many people are taking their free time to do that, so thank you. So when we look for comparables in this city and the surrounding county, there really was no comparables, so it's really hard to determine. There's nothing. There's not even like one available. So if you look at kind of similar communities, typically the two bedrooms are the ones that are available. So the one bedrooms always have a waiting list. So I can't say specifically in this city if that's going to be the case, but the kind of theme across the state in smaller communities, really in larger communities too, it's that two and three bedrooms typically are available, whereas the studios and ones have a waiting list. So
thank you. And then as for other vacant city lots and other projects, we're working on a bunch of, this isn't just one solution to the problem. We've got lots of other projects that are in the works trying to solve this problem. So it's, and that's what we have to do, because there's never gonna be one silver bullet, it's multiples. So we've got a couple of, we have another project here later that addresses the same issue, and I know of another one we had talked about. So this is kind of the direction we're trying to go. As for the garbage, that's all the way in the corner next to the AT&T building, is that correct? Yep, and you guys had said you would be willing to turn it to 45?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we were talking about the sidewalk. Wasn't the letter back from the city about questioning their equipment? Could utilize
DPW department in their review indicated that Trackless would not be able to clean that, and they would be responsible for clearing the snow in front of their.
Why is that? Bad.
Just the way the planters and the other obstructions in the way.
Yeah, but that machine doesn't go down in front of
no,
Water Street.
It does also.
Okay. Should we have a different machine? I
don't
just find it and throw that out there.
We do.
No. May I have one question, please?
Absolutely, Ken.
Michigan Community Capital person. Thank you for telling me who is that person. I thought they were coming here from the Michigan Community Capital Corporation.
Maryland.
Oh. You're a new person. You were just hired, I think, by them recently, so you wouldn't know then, would you, if there's been any conversations or any thought of any conversations with doing a joint partnership of development with the Huntington Bank property. My concern is that we're not looking at all these things, but you have it, and the plan went forward, and it has gone forward. I think it's this development you designed, I think it's great. I think the design is nice. I think it would come to is nice. I just wish it could be on River Street. That's all I want to say.
Yep. Ken, and in talking about Huntington Bank, we talked about this in the last meeting, and it was approached that was not even an option.
No. They approached Huntington Bank for one little piece of Huntington Bank property. They didn't approach Huntington Bank about their entire bank, all their property. Okay. So now we're going to add more impervious parking to an already blacktop area that isn't needed. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying we missed an opportunity by going forward so quickly to this. We may have missed an opportunity. Their master lease expires in a year, so we'd have to wait a year. How long will it take to get this built once it's approved, if it's approved?
We'll likely start construction in the fall, and then it'll be a 12-month construction period.
Okay.
Okay. Are we ready for
let's move on to the the findings and standards. For this particular application, you have two sets of checklists I provided for you. One is specific to the central business district design criteria, and the other is the development plan requirements for Article 19. Okay. So I would suggest that you go through the CBD design requirements first, as the development requirements of Article 19 kind of tie into those by reference.
Okay.
All right. Do we want to go through this line by line, or do we have specific concerns on specific items?
Okay.
Yep. Does anyone here have any questions about A, the development plan, the general, about the design in this?
There were originally two lots, right? 100 and 114? But it turned out there are three, right?
Yes.
I thought that was an alley, but it turned out it wasn't an alley. It was just kind of used as an alley, but it wasn't. Found that it's another piece of property. In between the Lally building, right in front of on the north side of the Lally building, the way it was used, connecting all the parts.
That was private.
It just assumed. We just assumed it was an alley. Turned out to be private. Yeah.
The B.
I'm sorry, am I all of this?
No,
you're not.
Oh, sorry. B. The building design. The building's a three-story building, flat roof. And it meets with all the design requirements?
Correct.
And the Main Street Committee approved it?
Correct.
Yeah.
B, C, D, and E, it meets?
It meets C, D, and E. Yes, it does. F, the fire department and ambulance all looked at the proposed property. And all the answers, I mean, they were answered and met. Sidewalks, we already talked about, they'll be rebuilt and widened and moved to allow the extra parking. Barrier-free access, that's that. Okay, on to I for parking. They're proposing 69 spaces of off-street parking and 13 on-street parking spaces for a total of 82 per the ordinance, with our calculations on what will be used for the bottom floor. We came up with 118. The Planning Commission can make the reduction as per 24.2F and 10.5M The parking study demand matrix shows project increasing surplus of block four from 35 to 43. And the parking review project provided by Camborne Consulting, over 300 public spaces within 2 minute walk and 150 public spaces within two blocks at 23% average daily usage. So at this point, we would need a motion to deal with light on, for item I. Any discussion?
Yeah, I would make a motion that the site plan as presented is adequate for all parking in conjunction with the facts. The finding of facts that support it that shows that there's plenty of public parking within the area. I would...
You're making a statement, not necessarily a motion, okay.
I make a motion.
To what? To approve the variance?
It's not a variance. It's a discretionary decision that you have authority for.
For how to warn you of that.
It's not... I said accept the findings as presented. Accept the parking as presented. Scott, should I reword that?
Based on the facts, support your motion for reducing the required parking to the provided amount.
Reducing it to 69. Reducing it to 69 spaces, yeah.
As presented on the site plan.
Plus the 13 public spaces being constructed as part of it. Okay.
Is that adequate, Scott?
Take care of what you need to do.
Okay.
Okay. There's a motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Newton.
Aye.
Place.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
St. Dennis.
Yes.
Allen.
No.
Elwinger.
Yes.
All right. So we have resolved I.
Sure.
Moving on to J, loading. They talked about the dumpster being shown. So this would be with the change.
It would be rotated 45 degrees, and they are proposing a masonry enclosure.
A masonry enclosure rather than a wooden enclosure?
It was shown as vegetation on the site plan.
Gotcha. Thank you. So that would be a change. So we need to approve with that change?
Yep.
Do you need a motion on that one or not?
No, just at the end.
Landscape. I actually do have a concern here.
Yes.
When talking, this is about loading specifically. I'm not sure if one space designated during just a specific morning, probably a period of time, would be sufficient. We might want to make a request to the developer to see if they can utilize maybe two to three spaces based solely on the experiences I've seen on Water Street with deliveries in the morning time. Generally speaking, trucks that take up more than one space. So it would be more of a request to maybe consider.
Well, that is something that the city would sign as that's in the public.
Gotcha.
So that would be reviewed and assessed, and if additional spaces would require, we would take appropriate actions.
Perfect. Thanks, Scott.
So that's not something we would deal with the city. Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Landscaping and screening. It looks like they've added quite a bit of landscaping for the area. Does anyone have any questions about the type of landscaping or where it's at? Move on to L. Soil erosion control. The soil erosion permit must be obtained or acquired. Okay. The stormwater plan provided. This is something that you guys have dealt with quite a bit before with the dealing with stormwater runoff.
It has to meet.
What?
It has to meet state standards.
standards.
Oh, I know it has to meet state standards. I knew that they had mentioned that this was something that they completely understood. Okay. The lighting plan and fixtures. Scott, you had mentioned that they were be using the lights similar to
for the street lighting.
Yep.
You know, they have their private parking lot lighting that they proposed and had inspections for. In addition to that, five additional street lights will be installed. One on the corner of Lake Estate, and then two equally spaced down the property lines on Lake and State.
So anyone have any questions about the lighting? Okay. Signage will be addressed later and permits will be required. There's no hazardous material or waste. The permits for, from the city, the WWW and the DPW approve, require.
Yeah, wastewater and sanitary and DPW.
Okay. Let's move on to the CBD development requirement findings. Do we need to do these separate, Scott, or can we do them all at once?
You can do it however you want. If you accept the draft findings as proposed, you can...
Let's just move on so that way we can accept the findings or make changes as we go for both. The development plan was provided and reviewed by the design committee. And the placement is approximately, there's a 5-foot setback on the west line, 0 on the north and south, and 4 foot on the east.
It does fluctuate a little bit. You know,
it does flux?
Yeah, on Lake Street there's...
Yes, because you have the bump outs and the back, I mean not the bump outs, you have the building comes recessed out and back and forth, which is what we asked for
right,
the design.
Right, exactly.
Okay. They don't have to have it. For where they're at, there's no setback.
It's a zero lot line in the CBD district. So
they meet that.
They're encouraged to come up.
Okay. Building height, a 3-story building proposed on a lot corner. Does anyone have any questions about this?
All set.
And this meets the height requirement. Mm-hmm. Building mass. Building located on the corner of the north gateway of the CBD district and the two facades visible from street, contrasting materials and architecture, architectural embellishments incorporated into the facade. So what you're saying is that because of the design elements that were added, it makes it the mass broken up. It does not look like one solid building.
Right, and that's what the ordinance specifies, is that kind of detail.
Do you have any questions? Glazing, they fit the glazing requirements? Okay. Building materials, the facade with dedicated public entrance exceeds 60% of the recommended materials. So how does that work? So we're over what the requirements are for the recommended materials?
Rec and other materials that are the recommended ones, yes.
Okay. The exterior colors, the building colors, the main porch are neutral earth tones that fit in with downtown Boyd City. Does anyone have any questions or concerns about that? Okay. Side or rear facade design, the side and rear facades are not provided. Are they to match similarly to what the front is? Not the bump outs, but the type of brick and the things like that?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Building entrances, public entrances are located on Lake Street. Doors measure between 7 and 8 feet. Is the 7 and 8 feet for, because of EMS?
That's the standard.
Just the standard. Roof lines, there's a flat roof that's proposed in the spits within the central business district. Yep. Exterior lighting, there's a lighting plan with fixtures that we've talked about. There are no canopies or awnings proposed, which is that correct?
I didn't know Connor to talk about those.
There's nothing proposed that goes into the right-of-way. There's the one on the corner that I guess could be construed as a canopy. But
what is it made out of?
The structure is steel. The material will be a combination of metal, like corn metal railings.
So not vinyl?
No vinyl.
Got it. Thank you.
It's a little more substantial than a typical awning.
I understand. But just want to make sure. I know we're very concerned about what awnings are made out of.
Sure.
Signs will be provided per the location and get permits on those. Just a separate process. Mechanical equipment. On each residential floor and the east side of the roof near the elevator overrun.
Yeah, the building will be using a centralized system versus individual. So each floor will have a air handler on it. The louvers will be on the east side. So there'll be one on each floor. And then the cooling system will be on the roof. So there will be a small bump up where the elevator area is. So it'll be kind of on that, near that east entrance.
Okay.
So all utilities will be provided to the renters? Or?
Yes. All the, it'll be a central system, which is a lower cost to operate. So that, again, it just gets back to kind of keeping the operational cost for the residents. Well,
does anyone have any questions about the mechanical equipment? Okay. M, parking and loading. 118 spaces required, 69 private, 13 public, street parking places provided.
And that has already been addressed in your motion previously.
And that's already been addressed for the previous motion. We don't need to do it twice?
No.
Okay. Alley access from Park Street provided.
That's mainly for emergency access. That's not going to be a dedicated service address.
Absolutely. There's no entrances off of it.
Right. It's, if needed, it's there.
Okay. Landscaping plan was provided. Talk about that. Screening, that deals more with residential. It does not abut residential districts, so it does not require any screening. Courtyards or plazas, the building setback from the west property line to creates increased pedestrian area in front of the building. So there's really no courtyards or plazas,
no.
Just more spaces provided by the... Okay. Utilities, the utilities will be underground. All the utilities will be underground, pretty much. Enclosed building. All activities within enclosed building. There's nothing happening at the site outside of the building for this building.
The only exception would be possibly some outdoor dining.
Possible outdoor dining.
We've created that kind of courtyard on the corner there.
Okay. So that would that be need to be? I mean, obviously, they'd have to come back to us anyways to get permission.
That's a principal permitted use in the Central Business District, and we have a number of establishments that take advantage of that already. There's an annual permit that's required and approved by the planning department.
So do we need to amend that to be?
No, it's already covered in the ordinance.
Okay. All right. If anyone can get it, absolutely. Yeah. All right, so those are the findings that we found. I would need a motion to approve or deny this with the changes that we have asked for.
I'll make a motion to approve this.
Oh, a motion to show that the findings meet.
Approved findings as...
With the acceptance of the parking that we've already discussed.
And the dumpster and the loading being changed. Okay.
That
I've got a motion.
I'll second the motion.
I've got a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Ellinger?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Newton?
Yes.
Place?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
St. Dennis?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Let's move on to new business C, preliminary. Yeah. Let's have a 5-minute meeting.